As we move into the sermon portion of our scripture today, I want to open up with a third reading, okay? Let's see if you can figure out where this one comes from. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put a man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. Sound familiar? Yeah. Where does it come from? That's right, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It also sounds familiar because when we read in Revelation of the new heaven and the new earth, we get a description that is very similar to the Garden of Eden. And if there's one thing that I want you to take home from church today, well, besides Bill saying that mothers are like God, the other one would be that the Bible begins in a garden and it ends in a garden. And for all the details in the book of Revelation that we always get caught up trying to figure out what the horns in a certain crown might mean and which beast is what, the bottom line message through the whole book over and over again continues to be that God has not abandoned his people. And as we get to the end of Revelation, it becomes even more clear that God is working to restore creation back to the way that God had intended it to be in the beginning, before human rebellion brought the curse of death and separation from God and pain in childbearing. Somehow I made out from that one, but but this work, this restoration for the author of Revelation begins in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to the Christians who receive this book and to us, John is saying, keep the faith because God is at work. Keep the faith. Because God is at work. And I want us to compare the two gardens quickly. In Genesis, in the Genesis garden, it's a lush garden. And there's that river that flows in the middle of it. And on either side of the river are trees. And in the middle of the garden is the tree of life and that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God walks and talks with the man and the woman, and there's no labor or pain or death. And there's a sense that this is the home of humans, and it's the home of God. In the Revelation garden, there is that river that flows from the middle of through the middle of the garden. It flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And there are trees on either side of the river. And the Lord dwells with all the people, with all the nations. God walks and he talks with them. But there are some differences between the two. For all the similarities, there are a few differences. In the Revelation passage, let's go back to the Genesis instead. Genesis passage, we know the story. And even though it is perfect and innocent and idyllic, we know that the relationship between God and between the man and the woman will dissipate. And that the garden will be lost. Whereas when we get into Revelation, you get the sense that that curse, that loss of the garden, that curse is broken. And you get the feeling that this time, that the garden has some staying power. There's that sense of eternity and that statement that this is the way it will be forever. And the trees in Revelation are a little different. They're not forbidden. And we read that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And as we sit here, what does that mean to you? That the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And if you remember the story out of Genesis, what's going to end up happening is, again, that story of tranquility and innocence is going to rapidly unravel. And before long, we come to the Tower of Babel. And humanity is splintered into different languages, and they dissipate and disperse and are no longer able to work together. And this, in Genesis, is a result of the man and the woman eating of the forbidden fruit, eating of the knowledge of good and evil. But in Revelation, it's the reverse that is happening. The trees are no longer forbidden, and the leaves work to heal the nations instead of splintering them. The trees work to bring them together. And when we read the book of Revelation, most interpreters feel that the city of God represents what the church universal will be. And that the individual trees could be churches like ours, the individual units that spring up throughout the world. And I share this with you because I think it speaks volumes to what the church is supposed to be. One of the tasks of the church is to be about the healing of the nations. If we take Scripture seriously, God is about the healing of the nations. And if that's what God is about, then we should be about that too. We should be a people who work for peace. Peace among peoples, individuals, and nations. We should be a people who speak out against injustice and oppression and do whatever we can to release them wherever we see them and encounter them. And we should be a place in which we sow the seeds of interdependence and cooperation. The healing of the nations. And it begins among ourselves. And it begins in all who we encounter, and it begins in the work that we do together as a church, as a denomination, and as a religion. And then we like those words. We like, that's a good feeling. That's a good drive. We can work towards that. But I'd be remiss to ignore the awkward point where the scripture began today. And for all the beauty of the passage, John does paint it with some tension. Because the city of God, to which all the nations come, there are some lines drawn around it. And for John, the city is only for those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And throughout the book of Revelation, there is a very strong sense of the in-group and the out-group. And for John, those who are a part of the Roman Empire, those who are part of the cult of emperor worship, and those who do not pursue a Christianity of which John approves, those are considered the other team. And those who keep the faith in the face of withering persecution without compromise, those who remain true to the church and the way of Christ, those are, as I have said in a previous sermon, I like to call those as that's Team Lamb. You know, I know the tour of California is coming through here, and there is the Team Lance, but we're talking about Team Lamb. And before we turn up our nose and say, why, you know, John is, you know, why does he draw those strong lines? There is a remarkable inclusion in this book. You see, anyone can be on Team Lamb. And when John speaks about those that are present in the city of God, that those are present in heaven, it is always a multitude that is larger than can be counted. There's that sense in which more than he can even begin to fathom are present in God's home. And furthermore, when we get the description of the holy city, the description is that its doors are always open. The doors of the holy city are always open. And I like that image because it fits in with our whole United Methodist denominational motto of open doors, or excuse me, open hearts, open minds, open doors. The city of God is always open. It's always ready to receive. It's always out working for the healing of the nations, for the healing of individuals. That's a nice picture. But I can't walk away from that invitation to be on Team Lamb. Have you dyed your robe the color of Team Lamb? Have you intentionally said that your life is in Christ and that you will walk in that way that Christ has called us to walk? And I don't often make those kinds of appeals, but have you? The doors are always open in the city of God. The doors should always be open on Christ's church. And we should be about the work that God is doing. That's what it means to sign on to Team Lamb. It means that we will be about the work that Christ has called us to, which is nothing short of the healing of the nations. And today, as we've gathered together for worship, may this inform our worship. May it bless us. Because the new heaven and the new earth are here. God's home is once again among the people. But the new heaven and the new earth are not complete. We are partners. We are partners with God to complete what has begun when he said that he was making all things new. May we make all things new. May we make all things new. Amen.